And out of the fourth chapter, I read verses 7 through 10, and I'm going to jump to 15 through 18 for your consideration to give us basis for this thought this morning. The Bible declares that there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Verse 15. The Lord said unto him, to her, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw." Jesus said unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." Supporting scripture coming from St. John 8 and 32. Very familiar passage which reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Based on those verses, we'd like to speak from a thought of subject this morning. Self-conviction will make you free. Self-conviction will make you free. Only by God's grace and by his mercy that God has blessed us to be here on this, another Sunday morning. And we're here for the main purpose of praising and giving thanksgiving to a mighty God, one that has always made things possible for us. We have witnesses this morning that is with his power and how he is able to do whatever it is that he wants to do. For as we very well know, we can look out this morning and see the bright sunshine. And just a few days ago, the same God gave us an abundance of snow. It's been very cold and now it's pleasant. But we got to understand and never forget that God is God and he can do whatever he pleases to do. Then we think about the matter, we are blessed because we are in an area where we get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we don't really have enough to complain about. It was in his will this morning that he woke us up and he allowed us to be in this place one more time, and we ought to be glad that we can be able to come and say thank you to God. We ought to be glad that we're able to say yes to the power of a loving God. And when we acknowledge the fact that somebody didn't wake up this morning, as we think of those that are in the hospitals and the nursing facilities and even in the comfort of their home, but they are not comfortable because of pain and anguish, but those that have a place to call home. But there are many that don't even have a place to call home. And we think and we hear and we heard just the other day how a man died up on the bridge because he didn't have nowhere to lay his head. So many that are in jail or in prison, and many that are unemployed, and even those that are lonely and miserable. Got to understand this morning that rich folk, they got a whole lot of money but have no joy. You see, if you know God this morning and have learned to be content with such things as you have, learning how to be grateful, learning how to be more thankful, and more importantly, more faithful, then you know that God will make a way somehow. Choir just finished singing "Some Way, Somehow." But the essence of that said that we know that the Lord is going to work it out. See, if you just think God will work it out, if you just got an idea that God is going to work it out, that there might be a wavering somewhere in your faith. But if you know that you know that God will work out your situation, that doesn't mean that you don't have concern. That doesn't mean that you're in denial. That does not mean that you think that it's going to happen overnight. See, we serve a God that sometimes is not an instant God. We serve a God that sometimes we just got to wait and see what the end is going to be. And we got to know, like Paul said in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes we don't quite understand the purpose of God. We feel like something is against us. We feel like, what have I done? It seems like every time I get one problem worked out, I got another one right there on my plate. Every time I get rid of one pain, I got another pain somewhere else. But don't allow the enemy to get you all messed up in your mind. You got to know that if you love God, God is there for you. And if you love him, he's going to work it out for your good. The Bible declares that if God be for us, it does not matter who or what is against us. Because of the grace of God, we must believe that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. We belong to a God that takes care of his very own. And I believe that I'm in the company of some people this morning that know that the Lord is on your side. Even though we may have trials, even though trouble comes along the way, God is still a way maker. Anybody know God made a way for you this morning? Anybody know through hard times, trials, and tribulations that you've already got some things that you can say, that's behind me now? But if you got the sense to know that even though you got everything all right now, you don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. But if the enemy put a stumbling block in your way, all you got to do is make it a stepping stone. Don't allow when somebody closes a door in your face to give up and say, no, I'm not going to make it. You got to know that there's another door somewhere. Anybody knocking this morning? You got to learn how to knock. You got to learn how to believe. You got to know how just keep on keeping on and be persistent that somehow I'm going to make it because God is my way maker. Somebody in here this morning came to worship God. Somebody came to praise him just because he is good. How many of you were so glad to know that you had heat in the house when the snow was falling down? May not have had all the food that you wanted, but you had food, and most of us had some snacks. You know how it is when it gets snowy. Something in our mind tell us that we got to have some snacks. We have folk at the grocery store that used to be butter, bread, and eggs, but now we get chips and popcorn and cookie dough, ice cream. Remember back in the days of old, we couldn't wait for it to snow. We going to get some snow cream. Now you got a few folk that make snow cream. They don't know how to do it. See, in those days when you didn't always have a half gallon in the refrigerator, that snow cream tasted mighty good. So you ought to be thankful from which God has brought us from. God has blessed us, and we got to learn how to give God the praise despite what we might be going through. I'm so glad to know this morning that God will show himself in every situation, inside and outside, everywhere that you go. You got to have your mind made up that you're going to make it some way and somehow. You can't allow the enemy to steal your joy this morning. You got to learn how to be bold enough to tell the devil with conviction, get ye behind me. And anybody ever found them saying, devil, you is a lie. You can't be scared to talk to the devil. You got to tell the enemy to get behind you. You got to tell the enemy, I'll stump you up under my feet. You got to let the enemy know that I'm not going to let nothing, no situation, no sickness, no problem, no finances separate me from the love of God. Because I may not have all the finances that I need, but I know the one that has all the supplies of what we need. There is a resource somewhere, and you got to learn how to dip into your resources. Hallelujah. You know how it is sometimes when you burn all your bridges with your friends and your family? Then you don't have nobody to turn to but God. Then you got to believe that God is going to make a way. See, somebody been your crutch. Somebody been there always, and every time you needed something, they gave it to you. But in those times when they didn't have it to give it to you, then you had to find another source. And how many of you know and believe that God is that source? God will make a way out of no way. God will put somebody in your life that you never thought that would give you anything. And don't you know, sometimes it's not always material things. It's not always financial things. Sometimes God can just put somebody there to give you a listening ear. Somebody that'll hear the thing that you're going through and really care about what you're going through. We got some folks that just want to listen to real problems just so they can share it with somebody else. But I want to talk to somebody that got some concern about my welfare. I want to talk to somebody that's going to talk to God with me. And let God know that we need to praise him while we have a chance. If God has done anything for you, if you know that God is a way maker for you, then you ought not have a problem giving your God praise. Don't worry about if your neighbor don't want to praise him. He can't tell your story. Don't nobody know like you know what the Lord God has done for you. And don't nobody know the struggle that you've gone through. Don't nobody know what it took for you even to get in here this morning. And if God allowed you to get up this morning, allowed you to put your own clothes on your back, allowed you to hop on in the house of God, then you owe your God a praise this morning. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Anybody come to give your God praise? You didn't come to look at me. You come to praise the Lord our God. Come to encourage and tell somebody this morning that you're going to make it. Hold on. Hang on in there. Your deliverance is on the way. All you got to do is keep on trusting. And in those dim moments, in those times when it seemed like you done got backed up against the wall and it seemed like your answer is not going to come, I come to tell somebody, don't give up. You got to hold on. You got to trust God. You got to know that some way God is going to do what you need him to do. And you got to go back to the old saints of old that said he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I serve a God this morning that is an on-time God. I serve a God that has a listening ear right now. Anybody talk to God before you left home? Anybody tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to just bless me. I want you to help me along the way. Anybody told God that I'm so glad that you woke me up this morning. I'm so glad to look out of the window and see the sunshine this morning. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. We glorify God because he is God. And so today we come to deal with the importance of being honest with oneself, telling the truth to be free from guilt and condemnation. Somewhat like the prayer and the attitude that Daniel had in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Just to be real. Know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we all need is God's mercy. Oh, I thank him for his mercy. See, there are those of us that think that because you don't do what you used to do, that it's all about you. But you got to understand that there's something else that goes along with that. God is a merciful God. God is a God that shows us that he has grace that surpasses all of our understanding, because that grace of God, that merit that comes from God, that you didn't have to do anything but be who you are. God looked down with his watchful eye and realized that you had some situations in your life that wasn't quite pleasing unto him, but he still had grace on you. And he still blessed you to see another day's journey. But in the midst of all of that, even if you fell down last night, it was the mercy of God that they realize that I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep on blessing you until you realize where your blessings come from. Not talking to anybody in here. Well, see, when we decide to make things right with God, there's no need to tell him a half truth. You know how it is? We like to point the finger. We like to blame somebody else for what we put our own self in. But we must work out our own soul salvation. We are instructed by the word of God to come boldly to the throne of grace, knowing that we are not worthy, but by his mercy and by his grace, our truth will make us free. We look at our thought today. Self-conviction will make us free. Now, the meaning of self is simple. It deals with one's essential being that distinguishes them from another. One's own person or one's own well-being. So now, when I think about self, I can't get Daryl in my mind. I can't get my brother Joe in my mind. I can't get Sister Judy or Barbara in my mind. I got to deal with me. And when you begin to think about dealing with yourself and being convicted, one thing we got to understand, that one thing we have to tie in there is a conscience. When your conscience begins to bother you about the things that you have done, you will find yourself feeling convicted, because if you run your mouth a little too much or say the wrong thing, if it's not right and in the will of God, it will bother you. And even though you may not have apologized right then, something down on the inside after you get home will make you rethink that thing. And you began to say, maybe I shouldn't have said what I said like I said it. You can be convicted by that little thing in your mouth, that poisonous tongue that we all have in our mouth. The Bible declared that it is a deadly poison full of evil. So you got to be careful what you say. So now when we deal with self, when we deal with conviction, conviction is a formal declaration that someone is guilty of an offense, a firm belief or opinion of one's stance, a strongly held belief. I'm convicted in my mind and in my heart this morning that God is a waymaker. I'm convicted that Jesus Christ died on Calvary for my sins and for your sins. I'm convicted that if I want to have salvation, the Bible tells me that I've got to confess with my mouth. Self-conviction. Now, as we make this a little more plain, those things that we know that we did behind closed doors, didn't get caught, but it was wrong. You got to be honest with yourself that was out of the will of God. And it's all right to come to the altar for prayer, but unless you come to the altar and lay your burdens down on the Lord, and you don't have to tell everybody in the church house, but in your mind as you talk to God, you got to say, God, forgive me for what I've done or for what I am doing, because I can't make this journey all by myself. Are there any of us that realize that we're only saved by grace, that even though we're saved, we're still a work in progress? I'm not looking at any angels in here. Not looking at nobody that are able to point the finger. I can't point the finger at nobody. For the Bible declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We realize that Daniel even was a good man, but he realized that he said, Lord, this is what we have done. That's right. But now, when we stick with our text, I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. But if I talk to God for myself, if I'm convicted within myself, I know that if I tell the truth will make me free. Free means not bound or controlled, without charge or of obstructions. Released from captivity of guilt. Problem with a lot of us is that we won't let go of the guilt. We've asked God for forgiveness, but we hadn't learned how to forgive ourselves. See, by the blood of Jesus, I am forgiven, but if I believe in that, but unless I believe it within myself and forgive myself, I still carry that dirty burden on my shoulder. That's why Paul said, let me lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset me. You know how it is that we got some folk talking about laying their religion down. And the problem is that when you lay it down, if you don't pick it up fast enough, you jump back into your old way. Talking to somebody in here. So what are we saying this morning? If you as an individual can be honest with yourself to the point of feeling convicted, to the point of telling the truth, it will free you from being bound and weighed down. We look here at our supporting text. Very familiar passage that so many times in time past that we have misquoted. For we will say that the truth will set you free. And they said that so much until I read it for myself. I found out that that wasn't what the word of God said. The word of God said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See now, if you just been set free, then you may not really acknowledge the truth within yourself. If you've been bound and you're shackled down and all of a sudden somebody take the shackles off of you. And now that you're free to run about just how you want to run about. But if there hadn't been a conviction down within, you don't know what true freedom is. Found out that it's better to tell the truth than to tell a lie. Anybody know a lie find you out? We got some expert liars. Most liars got a good memory. Because you got to remember that first lie you told. Because when you add another lie on there, then somebody come back on you unless you are able to keep up with your lies. Am I talking to anybody in here? God tired of liars. God wants somebody that is able and willing to tell the truth. We look here, when we look at this supporting text, there came about because of a conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus said, as we look here in the word of God, the Lord God says in his word that then spake Jesus unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees. Your onlookers, your haters, your judges, said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, but thy record is not true. If you say that you're saved, and somebody remember your yesterday, they're going to tell somebody you're not saved. I know what you used to do. I know what you're all about, but you don't know the change that have happened down on the inside. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I don't judge no man. That's the problem with a lot of us, is we judging one another too much. But Jesus says here in the 16th verse, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. So in other words, Jesus was saying that I got somebody to back me up. The one that made me, the one that sent me down here. If I say that I am the light of the world, then I am the light of the world. Then the Bible said all of those disciples, all of those that heard the word and believed, to them he said, then ye are my disciples if ye believe. And then that's when he came back and said, and ye shall know the truth. You know the truth when you hear it. And the truth shall make you free. So now God allows Jesus to shed some light on the things that they were having to debate over. We got to realize that we got to be honest with ourselves. No need to try to fool nobody. We got to trust the power of a loving God. We look here at our main text this morning, which tells us that there was an encounter with Jesus and a woman at the well. Bible declared after leaving Judea and departing for Galilee, the Bible declared that he said, I must go through Samaria. You see, it was divinely ordained that he would meet this woman so she could be free. Things don't just happen. You got to understand that there are times when God is in the midst of that situation. Bible said they coming to a city of Samaria. And when they got there, the Bible declared that there became a woman of Samaria. Woman came out to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew asketh me, a woman of Samaria? For don't you know the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Now, it just so happened, Jesus is on his journey. Bible declared that it was at the sixth hour, so it was around the heat of the day. Jesus being weary from the journey, Jesus being thirsty, just sat down by the well for a little while. And if you visualize in your mind, I see Jesus sitting there and already knowing what was going to happen, but he just sat there. All of a sudden, this woman rose up, and when the woman got there with a pot and ready to get her water, Jesus spoke to her. See, what we got to understand is that was out of tradition, so the Lord God had to make a conversation. See, sometimes you got to be able to open up your mouth and not be silent. Sometimes, even though somebody might say that all the white folk don't like you, there are times that you got to talk to some white folk. You got to open up your mouth. You got to tell them this, that, or the other. Just start a conversation, and you'll find out that they're not as bad as you thought they were going to be. Here we see the woman of Samaria. Ask Jesus, how is it that you only ask me for something, and you know I'm a Samaritan? In other words, we don't fool with you Jews. Why are you going to ask me for a drink of water? Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink. In other words, woman, if you know who I am, put it in our terms. You know who you were talking to. If you know who it is that's asking you for a drink of water, then thou would have not, you would have went a little bit further and you would have asked me, give me the living water. Now, something about this sort of startled the woman, and the woman didn't have a clear understanding of what living water really is. See, living water, it began to describe eternal life in our terms. So Jesus is saying, woman, if you know who you are talking to, you would ask me for something instead of me asking you for something. If you knew that I was Jesus the Messiah, when you saw me sitting there, you'd have said, oh, Jesus, can I give you a drink of water? But being that you don't know who I am and I asked you for a drink of water, now you're going to have the audacity to tell me that we don't deal with the Jews. Look at Jesus' work. Woman said, sir, are you talking to Jesus? Not talking to no Mr. Pittman. You're not talking to Mr. Hargrave over here. You're talking to Jesus. Bobo, glad she didn't meet you at the well. Oh, she told you, Jews don't have no dealing with the Samaritan. Hallelujah. But here we have Jesus. Told a woman, if you knew who it was, you'd ask for living water. The woman comes back on it. Woman says unto him, sir, thou don't even have nothing to draw with. The well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? So you don't even have nothing to get no water with. So how are you going to give me some living water? And the well is so deep, how are you going to get the water out? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, the one that dig and built the well in the first place, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? So this well was built by Jacob. Here you are, you don't even have a pot. But you're going to tell me and ask me, do I want some living water? Jesus answers, says unto the woman, whosoever drinketh of this water, they shall thirst again. That's why when you get those bottles of water, don't take long to drink up a 32-pack. Next thing you know, you got to go get another case of water. In other words, I just come to tell somebody. that when you drink that water out of the well, that water is going to make you thirst again. And I found out and I heard somebody say, when you get real thirsty, you can drink all the Pepsi, you can drink all the tea, you can drink all the liquor that you want, but it's not going to satisfy that thirst. Somebody said, when I was a little boy, there had nothing like a good old cold glass of water. But when you get a cold glass of water and it quenches your thirst, I want to let you know tomorrow you're going to still need some more water. But I just stopped by to tell somebody that the Bible declared that if you drink of the living water, God will give you some water that you'll never have to thirst no more. For the Bible says, I shall give thee, then thou shalt have a well of water, springing up like eternal life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me some of this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. In other words, the woman said, I want some of that water that you are talking about. I want some of that water that I never get thirsty anymore. I want some of that water that only you can give. But the Bible said when she asked him for some water, the woman answered and said unto her, he told her to go get your husband. And when you get your husband, y'all come hither, right here to me. But the Lord God said unto the woman, you don't have no husband. For the Bible declares, she said, I don't have a husband. I want you to let you know that God said, you've answered me just right. Because the woman had been convicted down on the inside. She realized that I had five husbands. But she didn't have to tell the Lord all about that. The Lord told her everything that was to be known about her. He began to tell her, you had five husbands, but the one that you're living with right now, he is not your husband, and you have told me the truth. And I want to let you know, if you tell the truth will make you free. For the Bible declared, when the woman told him that, she began to feel good down on the inside. She realized that you know something about me that you should not have known. I want to let somebody know, God knows all about you. God knows your uprising and your downsitting. God know who you're married to and who you're not married to. God realized that out of all of these five husbands, there have been some divorce somewhere along the way. And this husband that you got right now, it is an illegal marriage. You're not married to the man that you land with. You're not married with the man that left there in your house. And I want to let you know that you've answered just right. And I want to tell somebody this morning, when you get self-convicted down on the inside, all you got to do is open up your mouth. Anybody come to tell the Lord the truth? I've sinned and I come short of the glory of God. I've done some things that I know that are not right with you, God. I know you look sits high and you look down low. You saw me when I was down in the gutter, but you reached down in the gutter and pulled me right on out. I'm so glad this morning to know that I serve a mighty God. And the Bible said a woman got so full of joy, she left her water pot and went to running, and she didn't just go tell her husband, but she told all the men in the city, come see a man, come see a man that told me about everything that I ever done. It must be the Christ. It must be the living God. It must be the one that knows everything that he needs to know. And I want to know, is there anybody in the house that know, if you talk to the Lord your God, that God will judge you righteously. God will look beyond your fault. God will forgive all of your sin. I come before the God and with open heart, I open up my mouth and tell my God, I've done some wrong in my life. I hadn't always been a preacher, and even after being a preacher, I hadn't done everything right. But God had watched over my life. God woke me up this morning, and I got faith in the power of God. And I just stopped by to tell somebody, if you have self-conviction, then you will be made free. For the Bible declared, when you know the truth, the truth will make you free. He'll pull you up out of the darkness and send you in his marvelous light. And as I stand on the light of the power of God, I know that everything is going to be all right. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody heal you. Can't nobody keep you. Can't nobody give you heaven or hell. Nobody but the power of God. So I just stopped by to tell somebody, it's time to tell the truth. You got to be convicted within yourself. And if you tell God the truth will make you free. This woman had been going downhill for a long time. Because, see, when you think you're right, but you're not right, you just sort of losing time. It's almost like being in a spot going nowhere. But once you release yourself from the bondage of sin, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus the Christ. And you got to speak boldly, just like this woman spoke to the Lord. And she said, Lord, I don't even have a husband. Had five. But now, when God can say that you've answered me right. See, we have this mindset that when I come to the Lord, when I tell that I got to confess my sins and my faults, and we think we got to stand up and give an open testimony to everybody in the house. But I want to help somebody in here this morning. I want you to know that you don't have to tell nobody but Jesus. You can come and think about it in your mind. And the Lord God reads your mind. And he knows where you're coming from. But the thing is don't tell him a half-truth. You see, half-truth is just like straddling the fence. You're lukewarm. God said you're either hot or you're cold. God wants somebody to be hot for him. You know, you ought to be on fire for the Lord this morning. Serving a God that is able to even change the condition of the weather. Weatherman said, we're going to have quite a few warm days. But if God see fit and changes his mind, we can wake up in the morning to some more snow. We got to trust who God is and know that God knows everything there is to know about us. It's been said, and you probably said it yourself, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool God. He knows you. He knows who you are, where you've been, and where you're going. And so he made a declaration. The woman went, called all the men, said, come see a man. You know how it is? Sometimes we don't believe until we see it for ourselves. When those men got there and they heard and saw and felt the power of Jesus, they realized that this is somebody. I encourage you this morning, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets you and say, Lord, here I am. I'm nothing but a sinner. But I want to be saved by thee. And that does not mean that immediately all your thoughts, all your ways are just going to disappear and change. But what that means is that now you've made that first step. Say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do it in the way that I'm doing it. I'm convicted within myself that I don't like what I am. There are those of us that got to that point and we confess and now we claim salvation. But after salvation, we got to let our light shine so that all men might see Jesus in us.